Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening in other devices and later on recording, Saba blessing everyone on this March 7th, 2026. This is a part two of our chapter 31 entitled A Day of Judgment, and this is our review. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother once more to bless us with the Tiny Tot team for their study. The hymn is entitled, The Judgment Has Set, and that will be in hymn 416.
The judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action God the righteous judge shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? Our work has begun with those who are sleeping. Soon will the living here be tried out of the books of God's remembrance. His decision to abide. How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? Oh, how shall we stand that moment of searching, when all our sins those books reveal? When from that court each case decided shall be granted no appeal. How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? I pray it'll be the latter. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask one of the little ones, by the help of their siblings or even their parents, to open the review section with prayer. May you mute your mic to do so, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, and the 7 days the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's joining the Sabbath. Please protect the things that we learn in the review. Please protect me by, please protect the Sabbath family as we keep it holy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear little one. So it's story time on a precious Tiny Tot lesson. So let's have a listening ears, dear one. Our dear brother will share part two of our chapter 31 entitled A Day of Judgment in a story book, The Story of Jesus.
The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the following books, Luke and Matthew. Our opening scripture is taken from Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom their Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And Matthew says, so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, put on his apron, and make them to sit down to meat, to dinner, and will come forth and serve them. Still a servant. Wow. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noe were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark. And Matthew 24:39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Because we know not the exact time of his coming, we are commanded to watch. What are we to watch for? The signs that tell us it's near. Blessed are those servants whom their Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Luke 12:37. Those who watch for the Lord's coming are not to wait in idleness. It is to awaken them to repentance for their sins in breaking his commandments. I think I missed a verse. The expectation of Christ's coming is to make men fear God's judgments upon transgression. It is to awaken them to repentance from their sins in breaking his commandments. While we watch for the Lord's coming, we are to be diligently working. Working, doing what? Trying to share the truth with others. That's the best way. We know that he is at the door. To know that he is at the door should lead us to work more earnestly for the salvation of our fellow men. As Noah gave the warning from God to the people before the flood, so all who understand the word of God are to give warning to the people of this time, 2026. But as in the days of Noe, as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the day of the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:37-39. The people of Noah's day abused God's gift, or the gifts of God. Their eating and drinking led to gluttony and drunkenness. They forgot God and gave themselves up to every vile and abominable deed. And our generation has done almost worse. That is taken from Story of Jesus 180 and 181. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled A Day of Judgment in a tiny thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, on March 14, 2026. Before we continue on the review question, we have a scripture song to share based on the theme of our lesson. It's taken from Sunlight Sound Studio, entitled Behold He Cometh, memory verse, from Matthew 24:36-37-44.
But of that day and hour knoweth no
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to hand back the review to our dear brother to share.
But in review, what are those who watch for the Lord's coming? So not to do. What are they not to do?
The answer to number one is wait in idleness.
What is idleness? Well, in this, in regard to what Jesus said, probably doing foolish things, watching movies, going to ball games or dances or whatever else, that would be idleness, because the reverse would be what this little boy is doing in the top left-hand corner of your screen. He's reading his Bible. What is the expectation of Christ's coming to do?
Make men fear God's
judgments
upon
transgression.
Oh, yes. It makes men fear God's judgments upon transgression. In other words, if you fool around and don't get ready, there's a punishment coming. You don't want that. Number three, what did the people of Noah's day do?
Use the gifts of God.
They abused the gifts of God. I don't think I will take a big, long time explaining what abuse means, so you ask your mama and she'll tell you. Our bonus question is, what five things led them to forget God?
The answer to the bonus question is their eating, drinking, gluttony, drunkenness, and giving themselves up to every vile and abominable drink.
Abominable deed, yes. They're doing the same today, you know that? There are people out there in the world, fortunately we don't know them, that are doing all sorts of terrible things, just like they did in Noah's day. And they died of a flood. The rest of them are going to die by the brightness of his coming when Jesus shows up. Thank you for taking part.
Amen. Good job, everyone. And remember, little ones, how shall we stand in the great day? How shall we stand in the great day? Shall we be found before him wanting? Oh, with our sins all washed away. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are going to ask any of the little one, mommies or daddies, or any of our guests that would like to open our family review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. And please protect us. People who are here and people who are not here. People who are listening to the recording. The people who are just listening to them. The people who are speaking right now. Please protect the words that we're going to be learning from the review that we missed. Please protect everybody that we know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little sister. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to review what they learned from their lessons in God's creation through nature. We're still in our topic, Moments of the Bible. So this Sabbath, boys and girls, we will be going over part one of our fourth topic from last Sabbath in the nature segment entitled Walking on Water. And our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
God bless us, everyone. Here's today's ESB view concerning in last week's study. We will be reading about the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. This is our review of our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taken from Semi-Bible Lesson, or FBL, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 10, Walking on Water. The Bible verses for our nature second review of Lesson 10, titled Walking on Water, are open scriptures taken from Ezekiel 34:22, reads, Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And Matthew 14:28-29, it says, And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Our memory verse for today is Isaiah 49:24. It says, Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And the character quality for the story is thankfulness versus ingratitude. Thankfulness is the expression of gratitude to God and to others for how they have benefited one's life. We'll be reviewing our Nature 7 fourth topic review. Through Lesson 4, Lions Hunt, we'll be reading the spiritual insight before it. Come. As soon as they could credit the wondrous fact, Peter was almost beside himself with joy. As if he could scarcely yet believe, he cried out, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. One, to move towards, to advance near in any manner and from any distance. That's what the definition of come means. If Jesus had not spoken the word come, Peter could not have walked on water. How thankful we can be for the power of God's word that keeps us from sinking. Looking into Jesus, Peter walks securely, but as if in self-satisfaction, he glances back toward his companions in the boat. His eyes are turned from the Savior. The wind is boisterous, the waves roll high, and come directly between him and the Master, and he is afraid. For a moment, Christ is hidden from his view, and his faith gives way. He begins to sink. The Desire of Ages, page 381. Let's learn the meaning of the three topics in our review. Below the pictures, read to the law and the testimonies, Isaiah 8:20, in the version. The troubled sea represents the wicked. The disciples in the boat represent the Laodicean church, and walking on water represents unbroken victory. Here we have troubled sea representing the wicked. Troubled is a preposition. And over here. And next to it, it tells how it's pronounced or how it's supposed to sound like, troubled. The word troubled means disturbed, agitated, afflicted, annoyed, molested. In Isaiah 57:20-21, we read, But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Sin has destroyed our peace. While self is unsubdued, we can find no rest. The masterful passions of a heart where no human power can control. We are helpless as we were the disciples to quiet the raging storm, spoken in Matthew 8:23-27. But he who spoke peace to the billows of Galilee had spoken the word of peace for every soul. However fierce the tempest, those who turn to Jesus will find deliverance. His grace quiets the strife of human passion, and in his love, the heart is at rest. quotes taken from the Amazing Grace is page 101, paragraph 2, taken from chapter 93, brings peace and rest. Next, the disciples on the boat represent the Laodicean church. The word Laodicean is an adjective, and like the Christians of Laodicea, lukewarm in religion. That is the best definition given about the word. Revelation 3:14-15, he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. The message to the Laodiceans. God is leading out a people. He has a chosen people, a church on the earth, whom he has made the depositaries of his law. He has committed to them sacred trust and eternal truth to be given to the world. He will reprove and correct them. The true witness says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, why I grant to sit with thee in thy throne, even as I also overcame, and sat down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3:18-21. This paragraph is taken from Selected Messages, Book 2, page 66, paragraph 3. And finally, walking on water, representing unbroken victory. The word unbroken is an adjective. Its definition means not broken, not violated. Preserve your vows, unbroken. And the word victory is a noun. It's Latin for victoria, from vinco, victus, to conquer. The word victory means in a win or a triumph. Matthew 14:25-26 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto him walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. When the storm arose, they still more deeply regretted having left Jesus. Had they remained, this peril would have been avoided. This was a severe trial of their faith. In the darkness and tempest, they sought to gain the point where he had promised to meet them, but the driving wind forced them from their course and made all their efforts futile. They were strong men and accustomed to the water, but now their hearts failed them with terror. They longed for the calm, commanding presence of the Master and felt that with them, they would be secure. But Jesus had not forgotten his disciples. From the distant shore, his eye pierced the darkness. He saw their danger and read their thoughts. He would not suffer one of them to perish. As a fond mother watches the child she has in kindness corrected, so the compassionate Master watched his disciples. When their hearts were subdued, their unholy ambition quelled, and they humbly prayed for help. It was given them. At the very moment they believed themselves lost, a flash of lightning revealed the figure of a man walking toward them upon the water. An unspeakable terror seized them. The hands that had grasped the oars with muscle like iron relaxed their hold and fell powerless by their side. The boat rocked at the will of the waves, while their eyes were riveted upon this vision of a man stepping firmly upon the white-capped billows. Paragraph is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, page 267, paragraph 2, taken from chapter 21, Walking on the Water. spirit and your mind, and things you can do while you remember today's lesson. One, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lesson. Two, many times we do chores if we are promised some reward, like money, a special treat, or so forth. Because we are thankful to our parents for what they have done for us, we will gladly do what they ask with no reward, but just to honor them as God. Three, as you run the water for your bath, remember Peter walking on water and the lessons you learned from that story. Four, be especially careful when you are having a very close walk with the Lord, that you do not fall like Peter fell into sin. Five, never be greedy at mealtimes like lions are at their meals. Do not complain if others get the last piece. Six, practice health reform by not eating between meals or rich sweets. Then you will not be one of the weak ones that Satan catches. Seven, be lion-hearted and be a bold witness for Jesus. Eight, talk to others about him when God opens a way for you to witness. This nine, if you fall under temptation, ask God for help immediately to get up and run away from Satan's ground. 10, when you are faced with a seemingly impossible job, remember that with God's help, nothing shall be impossible, even walking on water. Hear and reinforce things you can do to help you remember today's lesson. 1, look for mammals, use your guidebook to identify them. 2, why will a heavy boat float on water, but if you step on the water, you sink? 3, if possible, go for a ride and a picnic by water, or like a lake or the beach. Or even a pond. 4, individual activities, stories, and poems. Use the booklet entitled Children's Bible Activities, Stories, and Poems for this quarter. 5, say your memory verse. Remarkable parent food. The history of no one of the disciples better illustrates Christ's method of training than does the history of Peter. Bold, aggressive, and self-confident, quick to perceive and forward to act, prompt in retaliation, yet generous and forgiving. Peter often erred and often received a reproof. Nor were his warm heart and loyalty and devotion to Christ the less decidedly recognized and commended. Patiently with discriminating love, the Savior dealt with his impetuous disciple, seeking to check his confidence and to teach him humility, obedience, and trust. Continuing, but only in part with the lesson learned, self-assurance was not uprooted. Often Jesus, the burden heavy upon his own heart, sought to open to the disciples the scenes of his trial and suffering. But their eyes were holden, the knowledge was unwelcome, and they did not see self-pity that shrank from fellowship. With Christ in suffering prompted Peter's remonstrance, "Pity thyself, Lord, this shall not be unto me." Matthew 16:22 margin. His words expressed the thought and feeling of the 12. So they went on, the crisis drawing near, they, boastful, contentious, in anticipation, apportioning regal honors and dreaming not of the cross. For them all, Peter's experience had a lesson. His self-trust trial is defeat. The sure outworking of evil still left them forsaken. Christ could not prevent. But as his hand had been outstretched to save when the waves were about to sweep over Peter, so did his love reach out for his rescue when the deep water swept over his soul. Over and over again, on the very verge of ruin, Christ's words of boasting brought him near and still near to the brink. Over and over again was given the warning. Thou shalt deny that thou knowest. Luke 22:34. It was the grieved, loving heart of the disciple that spoke out. the avowal, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Luke 22:33. He who reads the heart or gave to Peter the message, little value then, but that in the swift falling darkness would shed a ray of hope. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Education, pages 88 to 89. And next to the picture of Peter, says, come. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Matthew 14:29. And over here we read, walking with Jesus, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus grasped the outstretched hand, saying, O thou low faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? In this slide we read, when we cry, Lord, save me, Jesus will be at our side to help us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. And below this picture of this young boy praying, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. New Version. This review, we will learn more about our fourth topic, lion hunt. Do male lions hunt? Yes, they do. This slide explains how. Do male lions hunt? Male lions hunt, but lionesses are the primary hunters in a lion pride. Since lionesses do most of the hunting in a pride, the adult male lions are tasked with defending and protecting the pride. However, if the prey is too big and strong for lionesses to take it down, male lions will step in and help bring the prey down. Some prey that male lions help subdue include elephants, cape buffalo, and giraffes because the east prey can overpower lionesses even when the numbers are against them. In lion pride, females will almost always outnumber male lions. Even though male lions are much stronger, lionesses have more numbers and can strategically hunt and stalk prey due to their higher numbers in a pride. When male lions are part of a lion coalition, they have no choice but to hunt for their own food because there are no female lions in a lion coalition. Information from www.alawpets.com/do male lions hunt. Continuing. Male lions are just as capable to hunt as lionesses. They just choose not to if they have females to do the hunting for them. When male lions are lone males or part of a lion coalition, they will hunt the same type of prey that lions will hunt. Their prey includes bigger animals like antelopes, buffalo, zebras, and elephants. However, they will also hunt smaller animals such as birds and rodents when there is an opportunity to do so. Lions hunt part one. What do lions hunt? Lions are native to Africa and savanna landscapes, which are also home to some big prey animals. The prey animals lionesses prefer are wildebeest and zebras. When male lions hunt, they can go for even larger prey like buffalo. While it's not ideal, they eat smaller creatures like hares, lizards, and birds if necessary. Lions are most likely to successfully separate small or weak elephants or hippos when hunting in groups. A meal this size can ensure the entire pride is well fed. Some leftovers from the carcass can then feed scavenger animals like vultures, hyenas, or possibly other large cat species. Interestingly, lions don't hunt or eat hyenas. Although they might kill these animals, they don't tend to eat the carcass. The same goes for leopards and cheetahs. Lions also don't prefer impalas, contrary to popular belief. Information from A to Z Animal.com. /blog/how lines to understand the common tactics. Information. The line insulting tactics, step one, prowling. You're scanning for prey, locating targets, feeding requirements every day, 3 to 4 days, 12 pounds meat per day, optimal target more than 300 feet away. One, prowling. Being an apex predator is hard and dangerous work. Lions need an average of 12 pounds of meat a day, and they tend to hunt every 3 or 4 days just to get by. But what's on the menu? Well, it depends on what's close at hand, or paw. Lions don't mind a helping of dick or warthog when it's convenient. But really, they prefer to dig their fangs into meatier fare, usually zebras, buffaloes, and wildebeest. Lion hunting tactic step two, stalking. Considerations, stay downwind from prey. Pride size for group hunts. Scenario one, ambush. Scenario two, interference. Two, stalking. Head lowered, ears flattened. The hunting lion, almost always female, follows her prey. Depending on the size of her prey and the strength of her target, she may hunt alone, with a partner, or with a group. When hunting as a group, her lion allies will usually spread out stealthily to flank their prey. Given that they hunt fast, short, powerful birds, they try to get within 100 feet before striking. They can only run at top speed for about 300 feet and just don't have the stamina for a drawn-out chase. Finally, step lion hunting tactic, step three, pouncing. Your speed bursts up to 50 miles per hour. The characteristics, claws out, teeth barred. Impossible scenario, pride box and escape routes. Three, pouncing. The lion sprints at the startled prey, teeth bared and claws ready. The other lions may charge in for the takedown or close-off escape routes until the prey is surrounded and weak. These battles follow a pattern of attack, evasion, counter, and parry. They can last anywhere from a minute to half an hour. Information from How the Lions Hunt from Landing Thorn, oh, what's that called? Thornton Safaris. How do lions hunt? Understand their most common tactics. Lion stalking tactics, just in description. There's invisibility. Lionesses use their slender bodies and natural camouflage to stay hidden in tall grass or bushes, making it difficult for prey to detect their presence. Then coordinated approach. The lionesses work together in packs, surrounding the prey from different angles to minimize the chances of escape. Stealthy movements. Lionesses move slowly and silently, minimizing any noise that could alert the prey before initiating the chase. Patience. Lionesses wait for the perfect moment to strike, ensuring they are within striking distance before launching their attack. And then stalking, the art of patience and precision. Stalking requires the art of patience and precision. Lions can wait for hours observing their prey's behavior and movement to understand the optimal time to strike. Any sudden movement or noise can alert the prey and result in a failed hunt. It is this extraordinary patience that allows lions to get within striking distance undetected, increasing their chances of a successful hunt. When you witness a lioness in stealth mode, moving silently and slowly, you can help but admire their calculated approach. Stalking is a testament to the lion's evolution as an apex predator, showcasing their ability to adapt to different hunting scenarios and employ specialized tactics to secure a meal for the prey. Information from www.wildlifefact.com/lion-hunting-strategy. Lions hunt part two. Do lions hunt alone? Lionesses can hunt solo, but they mostly hunt in groups with other females to increase their chances of success, along with the size of the kill. Lions need to feed a whole pride, and capturing larger animals means more food. There is a bit of a bad reputation when it comes to how successful lions are when hunting. Lionesses are about half as successful when hunting solo as they are when they hunt with a group. While this rate of success isn't wonderful, lions would rather conserve energy for a future hunt than waste that energy in an unsuccessful pursuit, which is why they usually give up after one or two failed attempts. When they do hunt in groups, the female lions tend to take positions such as left, right, and center. This strategy can make it difficult for a prey animal to get away. Additionally, the distraction provided by the surrounding lions makes it easier for one to jump in for the kill. After the prey has been taken down, the lionesses bring the kill back to the group, and the hierarchy of feeding begins. Information from AZ.animals.com/blog/how lions understand the most common tactics. Direct confrontation, the male lion's role in hunting. While the female lionesses take on the majority of the hunting responsibilities, male lions also participate in hunts, particularly when it comes to hunting large prey. In these situations, there is no hiding or stalking involved. The male lion joins forces with the lionesses and strategically corners the prey. The outcome of the hunt depends on the weight, strength, and bravery of the male lion. This direct confrontation approach is typically used for larger prey like Cape buffaloes, zebras, and giraffes. It showcases the lion's size, brute strength, and ability to overpower their prey. The male lion's hunting technique. When engaging in direct confrontation, male lions use their superior size and strength to their advantage. They rely on their massive bodies to intimidate and overpower the prey. The male lion's role in hunting involves strategic positioning and coordinated teamwork with the lionesses. By strategically surrounding the prey, they minimize the escape routes and increase the chances of a successful hunt. Once the prey is cornered, the male lion can use its powerful jaws and sharp teeth to deliver a lethal bite, swiftly incapacitating the prey. Information from www.wildlife.com/lion-hunting-strategy. Here in the table, comparison of male and female lions in hunting. Here we have male lion and female lioness. First is their size. The male lion size is larger and more muscular. The female lioness's size is smaller and more agile. Next is role in hunting. For the male lion, male lions assist in hunting larger prey. For the female lioness's role in hunting, they're the main hunter, particularly for small to medium-sized prey. The male lion's hunting strategy is a direct confrontation. The female lioness's hunting strategy is stalking and stealthy approach. The male lion's strength, it's a powerful bite force and intimidation. For the female lioness's strength is speed, agility, and teamwork. And the male lion's prey preference are large herbivores, and the female lion's prey preference are a wide range of prey, including small to medium-sized herbivores. Here it says, direct confrontation allows male lions to target and take down large prey that may be challenging for the lioness to handle alone. This hunting technique demonstrates the unique division of labor within a lion pride, where each member plays a crucial role in ensuring the survival and success of the group. The lion hunting patterns and strategies. Lions exhibit a variety of hunting patterns and strategies that are tailored to the characteristics of their prey. By understanding these tactics, we gain insight into the successful hunting tactics of these majestic creatures. When it comes to hunting large animals like zebras, cape buffaloes, or wildebeest, lions employ a cooperative strategy. They encircle the herd, strategically targeting weaker or older individuals to increase their chances of a successful hunt. This coordinated approach enhances their hunting efficiency and ensures a higher success rate. On the other hand, when hunting smaller prey such as warthogs, lions adopt a more cautious approach. They conceal themselves in the grass and patiently wait for the prey to come closer. Once the prey makes a run for it, lions utilize their speed and agility to swiftly capture and kill their target. Do lions hunt their own kind? Do lions eat other lions? Well, no. Lions don't cannibalize their own, just as they don't eat other large cat or dominant species. However, male lions will kill other male cubs to limit future competition and force a female into estrus so they can pass on their own genes. There have been reports of male lions killing others' cubs and then eating them, though other times they just leave the carcass. Unfortunately, this behavior is not unusual in the animal kingdom. Information from AtoZAnimals.com/blog/ how lions help understand most common tactics. Lions hunt conclusion summary. In short, a lion's first strategy is to use their stealth to track their prey and attack when the moment is right. If that doesn't work, they will sail for an ambush and chase down their prey for a short distance. Lions don't pursue prey for very long or attempt many takedowns in order to conserve energy. Once the lioness has killed the prey and dragged it back home, male lions eat first, followed by the lionesses. Cubs get any leftovers. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible, review, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, Chapter 40, A Night on the Lake, Part 5. We reread page 381 to ground our children to answer the third bonus question review that follows. Yes, Sister Christina, the females do feel sad when when the male or female cubs get killed. They even give roars that mean mourning, and as I've seen in a documentary once. Mm-hmm. Continuing, Jesus had not forgotten them. The watcher on the shore saw those fear-stricken men battling with the tempest. Not for a moment did he lose sight of his disciples. With deepest solicitude, his eyes followed the storm-tossed boat with its precious burden. For these men were to be the light of the world. As a mother in tender love watches her child, so the compassionate master watched his disciples. When their hearts were subdued, their unholy ambition quelled, and in humility they prayed for help. It was given them. At the moment when they believed themselves lost, a beam of light reveals a mysterious figure approaching them upon the water. But they know not that it is Jesus. The one who has come for their help, they count as an enemy. Terror overpowers them. The hands that have grasped the oars with muscle like iron let go their hold. The boat rocks at the will of the waves. All eyes are riveted on this vision of a man walking upon the white-capped billows of the foaming sea. Diary of Ages, page 381, paragraphs 1 and 2. Next slide, please. They think it a phantom that omens their destruction, and they cry out for fear. Jesus advances as if he would pass them, but they recognize him and cry out, entreating his help. Their beloved master turns, his voice silences their fear. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. As soon as they could credit the wondrous fact, Peter was almost beside himself with joy. As if he could scarcely believe, he cried out, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said, come. Looking unto Jesus, Peter walks securely, but as in self-satisfaction, he glances back toward his companions in the boat. His eyes are turned from the Savior. The wind is boisterous. The waves roll high and come directly between him and the Master. And he is afraid. For a moment, Christ is hidden from his view and his faith gives way. He begins to sink. But while the billows talk with death, Peter lifts his eyes from the angry waters and fixing upon Jesus cries, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus grasps the outstretched hand, saying, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Walking side by side, Peter's hand and in that of his master, they stepped into the boat together. But Peter was now subdued and silent. He had no reason to boast over his faults, for though unbelief and self-exaltation, he had very nearly lost his life. He turned his eyes from Jesus. His footing was lost. He sank amid the waves. The Desire of Ages, page 381, paragraphs 3, 4, 5, and 6. Here are three bonus questions. You can find the answers in the Bible, the Desire of Ages book, or in the study book itself. One, what did Peter ask when he saw Jesus walking on the water? The answer is in Matthew 14:28. Two, how did Jesus respond? The answer is in Matthew 14:29. Three, what did Peter do? The answer is in the Desire of Ages, page 381. Our closing hymn for our Tava study is entitled, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. If you like to sing a verse, bubble up. Blessed be Go ahead, Sister Grace.
Thank you.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above.
Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our what, our comforts and our cares.
We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear.
When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of their little ones, mommies or daddy, so even our guests would like to close our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. O Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father Jesus, thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for gathering us here once more. Thank you for bringing us safely through another week. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these beautiful lessons of your created creatures and how they survive in nature, Lord. There are many lessons even for us. Lord Jesus, we pray for the day that they don't even have to hunt other animals and will be in peace in creation. Thank you, Lord, for this, all the lessons again, and be with us now as we move forward to the other sections of the studies. Be with the speaker, I pray. Continue to be with us, elevate our thoughts, and be with the little ones, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. But next week, we will continue with our part 3 of our new lesson entitled A Day of Judgment from our study book, The Story of Jesus. Dear ones, so next Sabbath, by God's loving grace, we will continue with part 3. And that will be March 14, 2026, of our lesson, A Day of Judgment, in our storybook, The Story of Jesus. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. Praise God for all and everyone that is here. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give them a continuing opening of all the messages that will be presented today and allow it to be able to be a seed in our heart and give us the power as well to put it into practical use is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.